hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If you believe that the Lord is good, shout a very loud amen. I said if you believe that the Lord is good, shout a very loud amen. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Before you sit down, turn to one person, not two people, just one person. Grab the person by the hand. Hold the person's hand very tightly. Tell the person I'm a child of God. Therefore, I have authority with the Father. So I am telling you, it is well with you in Jesus' name. Turn to another person. Tell the person, God is my Father. So I can speak to him on your behalf. Now I'm telling you, it is well with you in the name of Jesus. Tell the person, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Tell the person, goodness, favor, progress, forgiveness, prosperity, health, vitality is your portion in the name of Jesus. Say, I tell you this and it is so because I am a child of God. Tell the person it is well with you. Put your hands together for the Lord and take your seat. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, I was about to say something now, and I said that, am I not tired of saying, or I hope you're not tired of hearing this. I said, no, if you cannot get tired of hearing it. You know, I think is, I forgot it, well, for a moment now, the name of the man of God left my head, who invited a young boy to his church to preach. And he thought the guy would just, he's a small guy, doesn't know anything, so he gave him one small place to preach, and he traveled. And his wife phoned him later and said, look, the church has, in quotes, scattered. They had to move to the bigger auditorium. He said, what's the boy preaching? He said, the guy preaches from John chapter 3, verse 16, every night. So when he came, the guy took the same text, John chapter 3, verse 16, and he will preach and preach and preach and preach. Next night, John chapter 3, verse 16, and he will preach and preach and preach and preach. After some time, of course, the hall kept on getting fuller. People were getting saved. God was moving in their midst. So one day they were about to eat. So he, out of curiosity, just asked the young man, how long do you plan to continue preaching on that single verse? So the boy said, till everybody believes it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Paul said, I know you know these things already, but I will not neglect reminding you about them. What was I about to say? I was about to tell you again that no matter what goes on around, there is one confidence I have. Listen, that when I'm praying and I'm giving God thanks, there was something God done said on Sunday, and it's been a while since I sat in that kind of service. He said that when God saved some of us, he had to use gloves. That is, they were so far down in the pits and in dirt that God had to, of course, it was a joke, to wear gloves to bring them out. But when he said that, what I realized he was saying, and if you see, if you are the administration, you will understand that he wasn't speaking about God that created Jupiter. You know, I've told you about that one before. He wasn't talking about one day I woke up and I found that Jupiter was there. How great thou art. No. He was talking about where God took him from personally and where God has taken him to and where God is taking him to. When a man worships God from that depth of his heart, there will always be sounds in heaven. Do you get the point I'm making? It is not to sing a fine song. Get my point. That is not the issue. Even if you have a toady voice, not by toady, you sound like a toad. You are just croaking. But every time you're about to croak, in heaven, they begin to hear the gratitude that's in the depth of your soul. Listen, no matter how well Whitney Houston sings, if she's not singing from that kind of depth of her soul, it won't cross the heavens. But the man who is croaking, I've always said this like a joke, when you hear black Americans praise God, it's always different. Because once we were slaves, now we are free. That's what they are telling God. But the white man says, I just want to be where you are. Very cool. You understand my point? What am I saying? Every time I pray, every time I go around, every time I give God thanks, you know, I asked after this person, he has gone to America. I asked after this person, he has gone to Europe. Everybody is moving up and down. Somebody phoned me the other day. They said, well, I have done this. I am about to leave. Another person, I said, it appears like all my friends are deserting me. At that point in time, I turned and encouraged myself in the Lord my God. Realizing one thing for sure, that God indeed is good. And he will manifest his goodness to me wherever I am. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That gives me confidence. They tell me once in a while, have you heard this guy was shot the other day? I say, I know. In fact, I'm a teacher, right? I give lectures to medical students. And anytime I'm telling them things, I say things like this. The commonest cause of death in people in Nigeria today, all right, is road traffic accidents and gunshot injuries. That this traumatic death is the reigning cause of death amongst adults in Nigeria. If you get to advanced countries, those if you get to US, go to UK, it is a heart disease, cancers, that the people live old, you know, they are aged before they start falling sick and then dying. But I said, no, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Listen, it is not when you have a serious financial problem alone that you can have faith. Every day you buy a newspaper, your faith should rise up. That is when the eye, when your eyes behold what is befalling men, and people say, oh, there is no hope for us in this country. Jesus says, straighten up, lift up your head. Look, because what? Your salvation is near. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil, because the Lord is with me. And let me tell you the truth. Faith is not the opium of the masses, like the communists will tell you. You know what that means? Oh, you take opium. Now, okay, you know about heroin. Heroin is a modern, let me say, word for opium. Actually, heroin is refined from opium. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when things are bad, you take heroin. It deadens your senses to the things that are bad. Do you follow me? But that's not what faith is. Faith is that though my beginning be small, yet I will be great. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, yes, I am in the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm passing through. Do you understand what I'm saying? Though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going somewhere. That's why I have to pass through places. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you wake up in the morning and you have no plans for the day, pothole will not be your problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? Potholes will be your problem. Because you will sit down and you're not going anywhere. The man that is facing challenges is because he's going somewhere. Do you get what I'm saying? That is why he's facing challenges. He's going somewhere. So rejoice and be glad when you face challenges. That means that you have left your house and you are going somewhere. And let me tell you one thing for sure. You will get there. I said you will get there. There was a letter John Alexander Dowie wrote to his wife. I didn't know I was going to talk like this, and I brought that quotation. It's been one of the most blessed things I have ever read. Once his uncle wrote him a letter lambasting this young man for not having a plan for his life. And then his wife was staying with the uncle that time, and the uncle had poisoned her mind against her husband. So she wrote another letter questioning all these things that he's doing. Then he replied her. And in the reply, he said, I am like a man whose eyes are set on a target, on a goal upon the hilltop. He said, between where I am and where I'm going, there is a river. He said, now from that river, a mist has arisen to cloud my vision. That is the immediate things that I can see. I can't see clearly. He said, but I will not be caused of the mist or the river, turn back from that place where my eyes are set. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? I've always said it like this. If you are going to Onitsha and there is flood on the road, do you turn and go to Abakaliki because of that? You will continue to go to Onitsha. Why? Because that is where your target is. And let me tell you again, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy to you that if you will not turn back, you will definitely get to that place in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Now, I just wanted to use that one to say good evening. What I want to share with us briefly today is a message that I titled, funny enough, I gave the title now while I was trying to check one scripture. And I called it, Take That Loss. Take That Loss. Now, turn to one person and say, Take That Loss. Tell the person, you have lost something. Forget it. Let me go over it again. Turn to another person. Say, stop attaching your things to the things that you have lost, yourself to the things that you have lost. Say, forget it. You are going somewhere. Now, open with me your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 16. The title of my message again to you is what? Take That Loss. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, I'm reading from verse 1. How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? He said, fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. Now, God had rejected Saul here. And Samuel, if you read the preceding verse of chapter 15, he said, Samuel did not see Saul until the day of his death. So Samuel grieved over Saul. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now Samuel was grieving over Saul when God spoke to him in verse 16, in chapter 16, verse 1. And he said, how long will you grieve over him, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to the house, to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. Now, put something there and go to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Verse 1. Then David consulted with the captains of the thousands and the hundreds, even with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is from the Lord our God, let us send everywhere to our kinsmen who remain in all the land of Israel, also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their cities with pasture lands, that they may meet with us. And let them bring back, and let us bring back the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul. Now, get this point. For time's sake, I don't want to read everything. So David arranged everything necessary, and they set about to bring the ark of the Lord back. Now, let's go down to verse 7. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. And David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, even with songs and with lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, because the oxen nearly upset it. If you have a King James, it will tell you the oxen stumbled. Am I right? All right. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah. So he struck him down because he had put out his hand to the ark. And he died there before the Lord. Then David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And he called that place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God home to me? So David did not take the ark with him to the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Then the ark of the Lord remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the family of Obed-Edom with all that he had. Now, please quickly just go to the next page in your Bible, most likely. I'm going to chapter 15. Now David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of the Lord and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, no one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord chose them to carry the ark of God and to minister to him. Now jump to verse 13. He said, because you, he was talking to the Levites now, he said, because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, so we, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. Again, if you have the King James, it says, according to what? The due order. Thank you very much. And then they now went ahead and then prepared and began to bring the ark. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this blessed word that you have sent to us. I ask, Lord, that you will ignite the heart of every person to grasp the message in this divine truth that you are sending. Lord, cause our lives to be transformed. Cause us to move forward. Help us to detach ourselves from dead things and things that have been rejected. And help us to go forward strongly into the place of our destinies. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I told you that I titled my message, what? Take That Loss. One of the things I have found out, it plagues nations, it plagues people, individuals, it plagues families, it plagues adults. But children, usually, they don't have a problem with it. And that is why it is important you accept the kingdom of God as a child. And the problem is this. Usually, when people have invested a lot in doing one thing, they cannot turn back because of what they have invested. So Nigeria will tell you why we want to save Alaja Steel Mill, is it Ajakuta? It's because of billions of dollars that we have invested. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And you know the thing? You now have to invest more billions of dollars to bring out the billions that you invested that you had lost. The issue now, if somebody will assess that steel mill for you, forget how much you spent. What is it worth right now? If you're a businessman, listen to me very attentively this evening. Listen to me. If you go to the steel mill and say, we have spent $40 billion, that is not the issue. The issue is right now, what is it worth? And if a man says, after you get many people to assess it, they say, okay, we think it is worth only $3 billion. Do you know the wise thing to do? Sell it for $3 billion and take $37 billion as loss. If you are not able to take loss in your life, you will not go far. One of the ways by which you will set yourself back from making progress is to try to recover that thing that you lost. Let me take Joseph as an example. You know the story of Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Do you know that it would have been an exercise in futility to try to clear his name? Who will listen to you? You are in prison. CNN won't even interview you. That how did you get here? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But when God visited Joseph, all the name that was spoiled upon him became an insignificant thing when it was compared to the glory that God gave to him. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, if you lose 10,000 naira, and you're able to look at it and say, this is lost, you have opened your life to receive 100,000. But as long as you stay there, trying to recover 10,000 naira, you will never go far. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, follow me very closely in what I'm saying today. I read the story of Uzzah. Now, first thing we read, 1 Samuel chapter 16. What did God tell Samuel? You have mourned Saul long enough. How long will you continue mourning him? Now, forget mourning Saul. Anoint, take your horn, fill it with oil, and go and anoint for me a king. Listen, if you don't stop mourning Saul, you can never anoint David. Do you get the point I am making? There was a story that this man told. I was listening to him on TBN yesterday. You know, he cracks jokes. what's his name again? John Hagee. He was saying something about marriage. He said, if your wife is like this, like this, like this, then you married Lulu. So of course, I said, like, what is Lulu? Or who is Lulu? Then he said, in case you are wondering who Lulu was or who Lulu is, he now told the story about a man who went to a psychiatric hospital. And, well, from the story, I deduced that as you climb up the varying floors of the hospital, you get to more severe cases. Do you understand my point? Maybe on ground floor, there are just people that have personality disorders. On first floor, you get to those that have what doctors call neurosis. On second floor, you get to psychosis. And then when you get to the top floor, you get to those who are violently psychotic. So he said, when this man got to the first floor, he saw one man pacing up and down and said, Lulu. Oh, Lulu. The man was shaking his head. Lulu. Lulu. The man had developed a neurosis. Are you getting me? Then when the man asked the doctor, what is the Lulu that this guy is shouting about? And he said, he was engaged to one young man called Lulu. And then the lady broke his heart. And well, he knows because he heard it land on the floor and it shattered. You know what I'm saying? That was a joke. Anyway, the thing shattered to pieces. It broke like a bottle that fell from a height onto a concrete floor. It broke. And since then, he has been shouting, oh, Lulu. Oh, Lulu. So they left that and continued going upstairs. Then when they got to the top floor, to where those who were violently insane were, in this padded cell, you know, padding on the wall, was this guy trying to cut himself. He was chained and knocking his head against the wall, shouting, oh, Lulu. Oh, Lulu. Oh, Lulu. Lulu. So they said, what is his business with Lulu? He said, he married Lulu. I heard that joke from John Hagee. Now listen. If the first man on that first floor had understood God, the moment Lulu departed from his life, he would have stopped mourning Lulu so he can anoint his David. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Turn to your neighbor again and say, take that loss. I always tell young men, let me tell you, an average young man needs to spend money on a girl that will refuse to marry him. Then he will learn a lesson in life. Guys, are you listening to what I'm saying? Don't worry. Don't say, when I didn't have money. The little money I had, I used to buy her a GSM phone. How could she do this? It is a critical lesson in life you need to learn. Let me tell you the truth. God, every experience in your life will teach you a lesson on how to walk with God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, you will say, now wow, 2 years down the drain. Look for water and pour it down the drain. Say, I hereby wash the 2 years thoroughly down the drain. And Paul said it like this. All these things I have counted as loss. Get my point. If you are not able to count things as loss in your life, you will not go far. Businessmen, listen to me. If the business is not working, you know what you do? Calculate the amount of money that you have lost. Put it on the altar. That is, just mentally now, Father God, I have lost 2 million naira, 500,000 naira, 50,000 naira. I count it as loss so that you might bring true prosperity into my life. Every naira you try to spend to revive that dead business is another naira added to the loss. One of the ways by which 419 guys get the muguns that they bleed is that the man is not quick to take something as loss. They told him, you will get $10 million, but send us $50,000 as a first installment on release of to release the $10 million. So he sends it. Then second time they tell him, well, the money is about to come out. Another $10,000, the money will be out. He sends it. Then another story develops. At that point in time, his head begins to receive signals that this could be a scam. But do you know the problem? The $20,000 he has already invested. So it's like, okay, how much did they say? Another 10,000. Or they say, okay, no, just bring 5,000, we'll be able to beg the man. He will send another $5,000, trying to free $20,000. Now he's no longer running for 10 million. He's trying to tell himself that I have not lost money. One of the first lessons I learned when I got to Lagos, you know, driving in Lagos is not driving in Port Harcourt. It is not driving in Abuja. No, very, very different. Lagos and Abuja, very different. It is not driving in Enugu. In Enugu, I don't use my right, the side view mirror on the right side. When it breaks, I usually, in fact, it doesn't even break, it will fall. I put it in the glove compartment. In Lagos, I can't try that. Now, one of the things I first learned about Lagos, because of the way the driving is, which made it that I hardly ever scratched a car in Lagos, was this. Know when a man has beaten you in traffic and know when you are beating him. Do you understand my point? You are adjusting for space. There's a way a seasoned driver will know that that man has beaten me. So maybe your wife will tell you, go, don't let him go. He said, don't worry, he has gone. He may not have gone. You can't see it yet. But if I move, I will brush him from the side. The moment you learn that, you have peace of mind. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And you can make progress with your driving. While you learn to take loss, you don't expect the downfall driver to be reasonable. So it's only a JJC that will be arguing with downfall driver. Didn't you say I was coming? Why did you enter the road like that? An experienced man, once he sees downfall driver, he starts pressing his brake that the man will soon enter. And if the man enters, fine. If he doesn't enter, he accelerates again and pass. He has learned to take loss. Therefore, peace of mind has been bestowed upon him. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Now, I'm coming to something. I don't have much time. We read the story of Uzzah. In fact, there is a message I preached recently. When I started preaching that day, I wasn't planning to preach about it, but then it ended up being what I spent my time on, and that's what I call the death of Uzzah. Why did God kill Uzzah? It's a critical question. Everybody must ask, why did God kill Uzzah? Now, you have to understand that God is very kind. Even when he killed Uzzah, it was with kindness. I'm telling you the truth that I believe from the bottom of my heart. God is just. You know the meaning of just? That is, he doesn't ever do injustice. That's the meaning of being just. That is, he wouldn't kill Uzzah if killing Uzzah was not the correct judgment at that point in time. Why did he not kill David? Now, all of us know that the reason why God killed Uzzah is because they carried the ark on what? Okay, for those who do not know, like we read just now in chapter 15, David said that the Levites were meant to carry the ark on their shoulders. Now, because they did not carry it in the proper way, therefore God broke out upon them and killed Uzzah. The question is, who ordered the ark to be carried? Answer me. One. Number two, we assume that David ordered them to build a new cart. Am I correct? Then why did God kill Uzzah and did not kill David? Then we say it is because Uzzah touched the ark and David did not touch the ark, and you will be correct if he said that. The only issue is this. Is it just the touching of the ark? Yes, he was not supposed to touch the ark, but no, there was something that was significant in the touching of the ark. Listen, he touched the ark with relatively good intentions. Let the ark not fall. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was because the oxen almost toppled it. So he went and grabbed it. Ark, don't fall. But God said, you make a very great mistake. When you try to keep standing, what I have commanded should fall. I will kill you for withstanding correction. Listen to me. They had traveled a long distance. They had invested money and time and everything. Then the ark was about to fall, so as to tell them that what they did was wrong. And Uzzah said, no, not here. And God said, if you will not take correction, then I will have to break your neck. Get my point. To make a mistake is not anything. If you read Psalm 130, it said, if the Lord were to number iniquity, who would stand? He said, but forgiveness is with you, O God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, you did the wrong thing, made the wrong investment, dated the wrong person, is not an issue. Get my point very clear. The problem is when the ark is about to fall and you try to hold it. I will use the life of David to teach you that. David collected somebody else's wife, and it is called adultery, right? In fact, he broke another law called thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He broke the law. You must not covet your neighbor's wife. The man coveted his servant's wife, not just his neighbor. Are you following me what I'm saying? And then, the good Lord in his infinite mercies ensured that the girl with one single act got pregnant. All the men in town have been committing adultery. The women don't get pregnant. The righteous man, that is why you as a believer, the day you cheat in class, they will catch you. You know, if you see me, I'm always very careful what I do. I've given this example before. I'm one person that business I don't know about, you can never persuade me to do it. There is no story you want to tell. In fact, the more the amount of money to be made, the fearer I become fearful. You understand what I'm trying to say? The good example I use all the time was the day one of my friends came and said, "Hey, Banky, let's buy a Lexus." I said, "What? A Lexus?" He said, "Believe me, it's 300,000 naira. 300 naira for a Lexus." I said, "There's something wrong." He said, "There's nothing wrong. The man is tight for money." I said, "Okay, if after we had bought the car, what are we going to do? Are we going to drive it?" He said, "No, we'll sell it." I said, "Okay. You see that guy I described?" I said, "He sells cars, not me. Go and meet him." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because business, where I don't know. I know they do them. Now, I cannot identify the good engine of a Lexus. So whether the man is selling me a carcass, I wouldn't know. No, and you know my reason why I do like that? All my life, anything that everybody tries to do, if I put my leg, my own, you will go wrong fast, rapidly. Rapidly. I don't know how I learned it. I learned it very early. So all those days when I finished youth service and came to Lagos, and people were running up and down looking for money. Me, I'll just wake up in the morning. I'll go for convention. I'll go and listen to Bishop Oyedepo preach. For evening, people are running up and down. "We have to buy a car. We have to buy a car. Without a car, as a young man, you are dead." That's your problem. I, Banky, do not have money. I am not buying one. "Why don't you have a car?" I will tell you the reason. They banned importation of cars. It is not so. The truth is that man does not have cash. They never give cars out for free. You understand what I'm saying? When you get to the shop, your first question is, "How much?" So no matter the much or the small of it, I did not have any of the above. So I will always go back to my house and go and sit down. Listen, don't think it's for 2 days. I graduated in 1991. I drove my own car for the first time in the year 2000, February. So, if you think I've always had a car, you're joking. If I talk the way I do, believe me, it is out of what my hands have handled. And I was never ashamed of it, though. Ashamed of what? Do you know how much of God I had inside? I was afraid. I used to look down on those who didn't know what I knew. Let me tell you again. Then I considered it a privilege to shake a lady's hand. That what I mean is that I will be in my mind, I feel I'm doing her a favor. I'm shaking your hand. Great man, I am shaking your hand. You don't know what I'm doing for you. You all know my wife. Go and ask her again. At a point in time, she told me, "This man, you are full of yourself." Because, listen, I am not a small man at all. Look, Kani, I was half this size that time. So it was not this size that was the issue. I didn't even have a bicycle. How much more motor car? But if I catch you that time, I will teach you the gospel you have never heard before. And as far as I was concerned, that was life. People running up and down, not me, run up. As the Bishop Oyedepo used to tell us that, listen, you know, it is the devil that runs to and fro. That Jesus is seated on the right side, is seated. So my principle was also to sit. Somebody said, "So how will you get it?" I said, "I don't know. All I know is that it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Because his compassion they fail not." That same compassion will bring blessing. And let me tell you the truth. I still believe that word. And there is a guiding principle that has given my life focus. "Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream." I have no problem. Why am I saying all of this? I realize that if you put your hand to what God has not ordained, you will fail. But that is not the problem. Putting your hand to what God has not ordained is not an issue. It is a righteous thing to do a wrong thing, but as long as you fall, make sure you always get up. The righteous man is not the man that does not ever make a mistake. The righteous man is the man that falls 7 times, but every time he allows the Lord to raise him up. Do you get the point I'm making? That was the reason why God killed Uzzah. Because the righteous man fell. He took a course of life that resulted in problems. And God recognized that. But he left him. Go ahead, make your mistake. But the time will come when I will pass my judgment upon your mistake. At that point in time, you must be ready to receive my judgment. Any man that cannot take judgment of the hand of God is the one that will die suddenly. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That God said, I will push the ark down. And Uzzah said, no, this ark is not coming down. How you will know that your ark is about to fall? Is what you are doing is about to go wrong. And the only way to keep it standing is to do iniquity. Oh, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Places you swore you will never go. They said that's the only place where there is help. Then know that your ark is about to fall. Please, I beg you in the name of the Lord, let it fall. Listen to me. Let it what? Fall. I was telling you a story about David. Was I not? God did not judge David for adultery. God judged David for killing Uriah. There's a way I teach this, and I have to teach it. That if David had called Uriah and said, Uriah, the king wants to talk to you. Uriah, sit down. You know, he's mindful that we are but flesh. He said, Uriah, say, what, my lord, what are you talking about? Man, God save you, may not see trouble, you know? It was not my fault, it was the devil. So Uriah would say, my lord, what are you talking about? It is your wife. He said, what happened to her? I went into her. Uriah would say, since my lord, believe me, since my lord has desired this woman, I hereby give her to him. Believe me, that was what Uriah would have said. As a man, how do you know? Leave that one. But one thing I can assure you of is this. God would not have judged David. It is the man that tries to hide the sin that God does not forgive. Is that not what David said? He that hideth his sin will not prosper, but he that confesses it will receive forgiveness. Listen, the reason why God judged David and judged him harshly was because the righteous man fell. And instead of acknowledging the fact that what he did was wrong, he set out to cover his iniquity. And he that covereth his sin will not prosper. That's what the Bible says. So he called you up. Boys, things are tied to. So what are we going to do? We will kill the woman. Kill the man. And then we'll make it look as if she got pregnant in your house. Unfortunately, there is he that we have to do before whom everything is laid bare. The intentions of the hearts, the acts committed in secret, every one of them is looking at it and is judging it. So he, you know, oh God, let me tell you the truth. When you are about to enter judgment, it's when you will be doing wrong and God won't stop it. Serious judgment, punishment. When he was carrying the ark wrongly, God will stop it. If God did not by himself try to stop you, then be afraid. Something serious is about to happen. He plotted the death of Uriah. God did not save Uriah. So that there might be a demonstration of David's wickedness. Oh, he did not save Uriah. He allowed Uriah to die in the hands of David. After that, he set out to pronounce judgment. But good man David, at that point in time, he realized he had gone too far. Other kings, know what they used to do? They will lock up the prophet, but not David. Then he fell down before the prophet and began to confess. Now listen to me. Despite that, he had done something so serious that God couldn't overlook. What was his iniquity? He tried to cover up his mistake. The one that covers up his sin, listen to me, will not what? Prosper. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me quickly round up my message. That was why God judged David. It was not for adultery. It was trying to cover up adultery. In life, you will put your hand to things that eventually God will say, this thing, enough. But what the devil will keep reminding you of is what? You know how much you have invested. Look, everything has cost me so far, 2.85 million to import these goods. And you know what God will do? Custom will seize it. You will pray and fast and gather everybody and they begin to pray. We lose. We lose. Satan will look and say, if you know how I got here, you won't talk again. And I always say like this, any Satan you cast out that does not go out, he probably has a good reason for staying. After all, there was a thorn in Paul's side. And he prayed to the Lord first time. The thing shook him further. You know what I mean, shook? All right? It's not an English word. He prayed the second time. The thing entered even further. He prayed the third time. He said, God said, look, listen, oh boy, no point. There is a reason why it is there. So that you will not be exalted above measure. Listen, I know somebody is thinking that, no, what God was saying is that I could rebuke the thorn. Only people who are imbalanced in their doctrine say that thing. They so believed that everything that is not perfectly good to the flesh is of the devil, that when they read that one, it was not congruent with their faith. So they started explaining that what God was saying to Saul or Paul was that he could rebuke it. God never said so. He said, you have become weak, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I will not take away that thorn. After all, the reason why I gave birth to you is so that you can work for me. And the weaker you get, the stronger I get on your behalf. So leave the thorn, it is there. If I remove it, you will become exalted above measure. And pride goes before a fall. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Satans that don't move have a reason why they are there. You have given breakthrough offering, it didn't shift. You prayed all night, it did not shift. You anointed with oil, the thing did not move. After some time, go and remember the words of Elihu. Has a man borne chastisement and then gone to God to say, if I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. The problem with believers is that they go around fooling themselves that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They do not understand that he that doeth righteously is righteous. What am I talking about, Uzzah? And the fall of the ark. No matter how good you look in your own eyes, it is the circumstances that come upon you that God uses to tell you stories. There are proud men who cannot be told they are proud. There are indisciplined people that keep on anointing their business with oil. Do you get the point I am making? Listen to me, when you have problems like that, you go to God. He said, what lack I yet? If I have done iniquity, I will not do it anymore. I told you, if you put your hand to business, to an investment, even if it is a woman you are chasing, look, according to Shino Peters, real experience, Levegbo, onto Shele Simirini. You understand my point? Who speaks Yoruba there? Akim! Where are you? That is what my hands have handled in Bible language. If you pursue woman for 2 years, it is not the perfect will of God. You are committing iniquity. He said, what if he goes? One brother came to me once. He, after telling a long story, he wanted me to tell him what he would do to recover the woman. I told him, when he finished the story, I said, let her go. He was like, ah, Pastor Banker, are you not a man of it? I am. She said, no. Hey, let her go now. It's something they worry you for head. Leave the woman alone, not by force. You want to by force her, according to pitching English. You can't by force her. She has to willingly say yes. That's why they say, do you take, is not, have you been forced to, did they say that? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Listen, guys, I'm giving you solid gist. No is no until proved otherwise. Are you boys? Single boys, clap your hands. Thank you very much. Is no until proved otherwise. Don't deceive anybody that I'm claiming her by faith. A whole human being. What is wrong with you? You can't claim somebody by faith. And listen, don't collect the phone back. You gave it to her. In fact, the judgment of God is that she will use that same phone to phone another guy. Believe me what I'm saying. But listen, this is the word of God. The years that the locust has eaten, and the canker worm, and the palmer worm, all kinds of GSM networks, the credit cards that they ate, God said, I will restore to you double. But first and foremost, like Paul, all these things I counted as loss. Hallelujah. All these things I count as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? If you are, let me close with one. My time is gone. Let me close with one word. Listen to this and listen to it very carefully. If you are not ready in life to lay anything down, you are not yet ready to receive it. If your car will crash and you will not sleep for a week, God will not give you a car. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? One of the main problems with ministries, I have found out, there was one ministry we were analyzing last time I was in Benin, and I explained to people, was it in Benin or in Enugu here? I can't remember what for sure. I said, one of the major problems people have is that they build a ministry so big, they have to sustain it. And you see, one of my issues with life is this. I have come to realize that the way you get a result is the same way you will sustain it. So, if I want to live long and not rise up early and retire late, I will not become rich by rising up early and retiring late. Don't ask Pastor Kani. When we wanted to register for Total Fitness and we're discussing, I told him that I do not plan to go there more than twice a week. I said, why? I said, I don't believe in crash program. You ladies, listen to me. Please, let me teach you some weight loss tips. Your weight is a habit. It is not whether you exercise today or you did not eat tomorrow. It's a lifestyle habit. You know, your whole life is a habit. Guys do the same thing. So I said, any weight I will not lose or muscle I will not gain by going to the gym twice a week, I don't want it. Do you know why? Because the way you get a result is the way you sustain it. All my life, I don't believe I will be able to make out more than twice a week. Do you understand my point? There are too many important things to do, so I don't plan to start doing, I mean, committing too much time to it. Why? The way you get a result is the way you will sustain it. I have come to recognize that I must sleep well. Nobody will wake me up at 6 a.m. for business. God forbid bad thing. I won't even go at 6 a.m. to go and preach. One day I went to Oka to go and preach. When I finished preaching, it was at night. They said, sir, some people want to see you for counseling. I said, I'm not a counselor. I'm a teacher. I'm going. They couldn't believe it. You know, they are used to preachers who now sit down and say, God bless you. It is well with you. Not me. I told the guy, he was surprised. I said, I don't do counseling. I teach. I have finished teaching. I want to go and sleep. The guy was surprised. Guest ministers counsel people. Not me. I will never go anywhere. You now put me down. People will be taking their time. Am I a reverend father? No. I told the guy, you know why? It is vain for a man to rise up early and go to bed late, thereby eating the bread of hard labors, of sorrows. He said, because he gives to his beloved even while they sleep. There are revelations I need to decode in my dreams. You understand my point? I will lie down and sleep, and as soon as I wake up, a scripture will jump up with me from the bed. That's how I plan to live my life. What am I trying to say? What you cannot lay down, are you getting what I'm saying? God will not give to you. If you build ministry with your labor, don't ever forget, it is with your labor you will sustain it. But I have chosen to rest in God's hands. Paul said, labor to enter into his rest, because he that has entered his rest has ceased from his own works. That is, God cannot do his work in his life. Derek Prince said, he never struggled for the ministry he had. Yet, by the time he was dying, half of the globe was listening to him on a daily basis. All the plans you have made, may they fail in Jesus' name. So that the plan of God for your prosperity may be revealed by itself. Amen. Church, turn to your neighbor. Say, take that loss. It is God speaking to you. Rise to your feet, saints of God. Let us pray. Talk to the Lord and say, Father, that which I do not see, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. Say, Lord, open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things out of your law. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, show me what you have judged. Because you said all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. He said the grass withers and the flower fades. When the breath of God is blown upon it. Say, Lord, show me the thing that is withering in my life so that I might recognize what it is that your breath is killing. So that my life might be rejuvenated again in Christ Jesus. That I might see through prosperity that will not take away my sleep, that will not give me sorrow. Saints of God, pray.